Revelation 21, starting at verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Amen.
Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I suppose this message I'm going to share with you this morning was born some years, quite a lot of years ago, when I was rector of St. Luke's Church in Seattle. And the congregation, or at least the leadership, asked me to invite back my predecessor, who had been there a long time and whom they thought an awful lot about. And he was certainly a good man and a good rector. So he came to preach. Now, St. Luke's Seattle was not limited to 20 minutes or 25, you went on. So he went on. And he spent 40 minutes saying all the things that God could not do. All of them. Oh, what? Carry on. List of them. And then he went on to say all the things that God could do, but he had to have human help. So when he'd finished, I was very naughty, really. I went up and said to all my congregation, 600 of them, dear friends, you have just heard that God has abdicated. So anyway, that passed off reasonably well. But a lot of things I've heard and read since then seem all the time to be chiseling away at God's power and talking all the time about what human beings have achieved and what they hope they will achieve. So God is in my prayers and in my devotions and in my theology a God who is sovereign and who has not abdicated. He says, My ways are not your ways, says the Lord, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Yet he has revealed to us, by his grace, what his plans for humanity really are. First of all, he revealed to us the plan he had to redeem us and set us free from our sins and bring us into communion with himself through the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. A long time ago, when I was a young man, I remember a book, I think it was by a lady called Dorothy Sayers, called The Man Born to be King. Well, also we ought to say, The Man Who Was Born to Die. Even as early as his circumcision in the temple, Mary was told, a sword shall pierce through your own bones because of him. When he started his public ministry, John the Baptist in the Spirit said, Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So it was in God's plan that Jesus should die a sacrificial death. Jesus said so himself. very early in his ministry, the Son of Man must suffer, handed over to the Gentiles, be cruelly treated, be crucified. He said that was going to happen. It was inevitable. It was part of God's plan. It was the whole of his plan to redeem us, and nothing was going to stop him or get in his way of doing that. So you see, all these people involved, Pontius Pilate, Caiaphas, Judas, Peter, all of them, they all acted according to their own free will, which God had given them, and everybody who lives. And so they were conscious, they were making their own decisions. And they were quite free in what they did. But Jesus was in complete control all the time. He knew who was going to betray him. He knew that Peter would deny him three times. He knew. It was written in God's plan. Nothing could frustrate this. Pontius Pilate, who was recited in the Nicene Creed, suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was thinking to himself, why should Pontius Pilate get all this lot every Sunday in church? And I realised why. It was because suffered under Pontius Pilate connects the whole of the Christian story to history. Because we know from Roman history that Pontius Pilate did rule, where he ruled, and when he ruled. And it was a very cruel man who was soon deposed by the emperor. So we know all this. Pontius Pilate, what shall I do with Jesus? Me, Pontius Pilate, Roman governor, I'll make my decision. People, what shall we do with Jesus? Crucify him. Crucify him. His blood be upon us, our children. All these human beings acting by their own free will, saying what they wanted to say. But Jesus said to Pilate, you would have no authority over me except it were given you from above. So when Jesus carried his cross and was nailed to the tree, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know. They'd done lots of crucifixes. They didn't know that they were fulfilling God's will, carrying out his plan. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So Jesus was nailed to the cross. Could he have got down from the cross? Come down, let us see you. We will follow you. He'd said, I could send for 10,000 legions of angels. And from one angel I have seen in my life, on May the 10th, 1969, I know that one, never mind a legion, never mind 10,000 of legions, I know that one could have done it by himself. Jesus, at any time, could have come down from the cross. Wasn't nails held him there. It was his love. He was fulfilling God's purpose. Then he cried in the Greek, Tetelestai, which means it doesn't mean it's finished, over, done with. The Greek means it is completed, it is perfected, it is absolutely done. What my father and I wanted to be done. It is completed. Used by the artists at the time who painted pictures, and they knew that if one little dot of paint was added to the picture, it would ruin it. If one little dot was taken away, it would ruin it. So they said, Tetelestai, it is completed. Nothing can be added, nothing can be taken away. That's what Jesus said on the cross. Done. God's plan. All these people using their own free wills, Judas, all a lot of them. But that's on one level. Up above, God was manoeuvring and working his purpose out. So, Jesus died, but he didn't. Not like you and me. The Greek word is in the present active, which means that Jesus deliberately did it. He died. The New King James Version rightly translates it, he yielded up his spirit. He did it when he wanted to, at that moment. So, from start to finish, and as John preached 2 weeks ago, in the resurrection, God completed his plan to save the human race. His plan. They all did what they wanted to do, but they didn't know that up above, God was already doing it. As it had been prophesied, Isaiah 53 and many more prophecies in the Old Testament fulfilled. God's plan was not going to be in any way interfered with by these little human beings with their free will. So that's how God works. What about your life? Mine. We get up in the morning and get dressed and go to work or whatever we do, and we're conscious we're exercising our freedom of choice. What we do, where we go, who decided to come here this morning. Free will. Well, that is on one level. You decided, I decided. We use our free will and we made our decisions and our choices. But that's only on one level. Just like with the crucifixion, on another level, God is working his purpose out for your life. Man, as the psalmist said, every day was recorded in the book before you even lived it. Where did your life start? Mine. When your mother and father decided to have another one? No way. Your life, mine, just as the wood was in the heart of God before the cross appeared on Calvary, so your life, mine, was in the heart of God before he created the world. That is the teaching of the Bible. What is more, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and onwards, he chose you to be his. Or didn't you and me have a great time deciding whether we would be Christians or follow God? Oh, what a wonderful thing we did. It was predetermined that you would be and I would be. The doctrine of election, as it is called, is not all that popular with a lot of people, including me, but it's not in one verse of the Bible. It runs right through from Genesis to Revelation. Choice of Abraham, choice of Jews, choice of this one, right through. You are a Christian by God's choice, election. So am I. And I'm afraid if you want to get away from God, you're at it. Really are. You'll escape him. He'll get you. He got me. I was an atheist when I was a young man. God sort of played a game of chess with me. Ah, there's Trevor. Yeah. I'll move here. Near to him. Trevor. The other way. So God says, all right. After him. So Trevor goes, the other way. God chases him there. And then God, I think, said to the angel Gabriel, you know, Trevor might as well give up because he knows he's had it anyway. So that's how it was, by my free will. Now, of course, our birth was in the heart of God. Your birth, just as you are and mine. So we were born. And our parents said, it looks like so-and-so. Mother always said it looked like her, and father said he always looked like him. Anyway, it went on. And we decided to do all sorts of things, and we sinned, all of us. God had already provided for that. Jesus, in the plan of your life, he knew you would sin, he knew I would, so he provided for it and wiped it clean before we were born. So we made wrong decisions. We went on wrong paths. We decided to go here, go there, to marry this person, to do that. And we got our God's will. What's God going to do about it? Romans 8:28. God works all things. Everything. Not everything but this. Everything. For good. God works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. In other words, whatever you do gets you back. Tapestry. As a little illustration, you look at the back of a tapestry, you look at what's there, all kinds of wrong colours in wrong places. It's a mess, like your life and mine very often is. Turn it round, beautiful picture. Same colours, same needle, same everything. So, I know my life is a bit of a tangled mess, but When God sees it, he sees the other side. What his purpose is for me and for you. Can you imagine if a great sheet of white cardboard was put on this floor to cover this room? Well, it should be bigger than that, but we'll make it all right. Sheet of white cardboard is put all on this floor. In the middle is a twiddly little black line. That is your life and mine in the scale of eternity, of heaven. And we complain and do things from our little squiggle. We don't see all around. If we limit our thoughts and life to this world, we'll get into trouble as Christians. Cast your eyes around the white sheet, the little squiggle in the middle. Planning your life, and you will not die 1 minute before or after God wants you to, if you're a Christian. Support me into conflict with, not conflict, but companionship with some very saintly people. Tom Fowler, you know where I was born. His little boy ran out the open front door into the road. Was killed by a car. So what? On the tombstone, Tom Fowler, one of the saintliest men I've ever known, wrote these words: "Thy purpose, Lord, I cannot see, but all is well if done by thee." I was burying a young husband, throwing the mud onto the coffin. As I did so, his wife said, "God holds the keys of all unknown, and I am glad. If it were me who held the keys, I would be sad." So God is going to get you and me to that place which we heard about in Revelation 21. With a new body, no more pain, no more sickness. Wipe away all tears from our eyes, no disease. That is where we're going to finish up. That's what God said. He got his plan right with Jesus, and he'll get his plan right with you, and his plan right with me. That is where I am going. And nobody in earth or hell or anywhere else can stop what God has planned for me in eternity. And you, no matter what mistakes you make or what sins we commit, has he a plan for the world? He has. What a mess the world is in. Haven't human beings done well? We've heard about evolution, have you? Well, it's all right. What's evolution brought in our day? I'll tell you. More sophisticated weapons than our forebears who used bows and arrows had ever dreamed of. That could destroy this planet and this earth in 10 minutes, where they all released. That's what we have evolved to. Wars. Still going on. Jesus said they would. 2,000 years ago, not interrupting God's plan, Jesus said there nations will rise up against nations, there will be wars. He said so. He was God. Natural. Oh, we've also produced more sophisticated means of torture as well, just to add to our glories. And the human race seems to be hurtling to destruction. So it seems. Are human beings frustrating God's plan? Natural disasters, earthquakes. We dig in our pockets quite right and help people, but Jesus said it. There will be earthquakes, and there will be hunger, and there will be disaster in many places before I come. 2,000 years ago he said that. So where is humanity going to finish in God's plan? That nothing can frustrate. No nuclear weapons, no climate change, nothing. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. Sea was no more. I saw the holy city coming down. Men shall go to that mountain. They shall change their spears and into pruning hooks. Nations shall not rise up against nation. Neither shall they learn war any more, for the former things are passed away. Even the lion will lie down with a cow or a bull or whatever you like. Shall not be any more trouble in my holy mountain. God had a plan for Jesus. Human will did not stop it coming to pass. God has a plan for your life and mine. Nothing you can do, what anybody can do, will stop it from coming to fruition. God has a plan. This sick plan. Well, his plan. There's only one prophecy in the Bible which has not been fulfilled. Every other has one prophecy. Son of Man shall come again. Clouds of glory. Those who pierced him shall see him. It's his plan. We have no need to be pessimistic. Hope thou in God. I see it, praise him. Yeah, he calls us to work with him. Gives us that privilege. Street pastors were out last night. I do my little bit. Went on a holiday last weekend. Eventually, through peculiar circumstances, sat down to a woman and a man next to him. Listened to some music. Woman tried to get up. Couldn't. Tried again. Couldn't. Sitting next to me, she was. And she said, I'm sorry. I've injured my back months ago and I'm in agonies of pain. I can't get up. Shall I? Shan't I? I don't believe I meet people by accident. I did. What if I could tell you your back will be healed and you'll have no more pain at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning? How's that going to happen? I said, Jesus will do it. How? She gave me a hand. So I held her hand. She grasped mine very tightly. And I prayed a little prayer. Next morning I was going into the great hall again. A woman without any sticks ran to me, crying, tears in her eyes. Pain's gone from my back. I've no injury. Will you help my husband? What's the matter with him? Have you been telling him? No, he definitely wants you. So I went to him. He couldn't stand at all. So I prayed for his legs. Simple. 5 minutes, it was all over. No history on it, no nothing. And I left the hotel, people waving me off, with a woman, the man standing and walking. How wonderful it was that we met you. So, just a little bit to fulfill God's purpose, I said, don't praise me, praise God. He arranged the whole thing. Last night I went to a concert, Art Centre, sat down, got a spare ticket, somebody couldn't come. Woman sat next to me and she said, she's sitting in my husband's seat, he couldn't come, he's too ill. Very ill. And the concert went on. John was there on top. Then it came coming to an end. I never thought anything about it then. Wow. Shall I? Shan't I? And that didn't lunch. I said, I have a way where your husband will make a rapid recovery. Very well. Very soon. How? She said. I'm not a spiritualist. I said, me, I'm just a Church of England retired clergyman. Give me a hand. She did. Prayed for her husband. What about my leg? Got pain in my leg. Prayed for that. That was last night. I don't know the results of that. It's just another day at the office. Doing my little bit. God's purpose.